part three of Habits of the Mind. And I was just reflecting over there a few minutes ago about our thought life and how, I won't do this one today, but you think of someone like Judas, who spent 3 years with Jesus, 3 years, and heard all the messages, saw the miracles, participated in the miracles. He was aware of all the things that Jesus was doing and had the capacity to become a great apostle. But something happened to him. And what does Song of Solomon say? Chapter 2, verse 15, I believe. Anybody know? It's the little foxes. What does that mean? Little thoughts. Just little things. Little things can be very destructive. And think of how Judas made choices. He made choices. And in those choices, without meaning to, without intending to, here I am telling you, I wasn't going to, without intending to, he chose death. But he didn't mean to. He didn't mean to choose death. I'm sure if you asked him, and hopefully you'll never have that opportunity because he's not in heaven, I'm sure he would say, this is not what I was hoping for. But something happened where the enemy, the devil, little by little gained ground in his heart. Little by little. Made him, he was critical, then he became a thief. And in John 13, it talks about how the devil, well, in fact, let me read it to you, just so you know I'm telling you. Supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas, the mind of Judas, to betray Jesus. His thought life. He put thoughts into Judas's mind. And Judas allowed himself to meditate on these thoughts. You think thoughts can't be harmful? These thoughts brought him to a place where he opened his spirit to the devil, and the devil came in. Well, here's a frightening verse. Now, having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. That's scary. That's not the way Judas saw his life unfolding. That's not how he envisioned himself. And of course, we don't either. But guard your thoughts, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the habits of the mind. Judas's mind opened the door for the devil to come in. He didn't mean to. That was not his intention. But he didn't guard his thought life. So, the question, how does my thought life affect me? How does it affect me? Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, in his thought life, so is he. We are a product of our thoughts. Our thoughts are influencing our lives every single day. Every day, every day. Thoughts can be remarkably powerful. God thought it would be nice to have Adam. And so he created Adam. Then God thought about Eve, and he created Eve. If you think for a moment that at one time, communism was just a thought in someone's mind. Just a thought. Hitler thought about having a master race, and millions of people died. He murdered them. Thoughts can be used for good, and they can be used for evil. It depends on how they're handled. Our thinking is really at the center of our existence. What we think, how we think, it directly influences all aspects of our lives, including our bodies, and especially our soul. If I have thoughts like I'm always sick, that will influence my health. I used to work with a lady years ago who, she was remarkable. I don't know if you've ever seen a Peanuts character that walks with a cloud over him. That was this lady. I mean, if we were on the 23rd floor, and if someone on the 12th floor got a sniffle, she'd say, "I'm next, I'm next." And she was usually right. She literally would draw sickness to her. She would draw disaster to her. It was quite amazing to watch it happen. But her tongue, and she didn't realize it at the time, in fact, I don't think she ever did, her tongue kept opening doors that really did not want to open. And our tongue does the same thing. The way we think, the thoughts that we have, they influence our mind, they influence our body, they influence our emotions. Every waking moment of every day, we choose to encourage some thoughts, and we choose to discourage other thoughts. But the ones that we choose to encourage, they form our character. They form our character. Thoughts that I allow through and I focus on, the ones that I don't take captive, they're the ones that influence and form my character. Or they change my character. They change it and thereby influence my entire mindset. They're so important. The way that we select certain thoughts literally form the habits of the mind that we develop. In fact, they are the habits of our mind. Each one of us have developed certain habits over years of selecting and abiding by certain patterns of thought. We are disposed towards. We don't do it consciously, typically, but it's still there. Rarely does anyone sit and say, I wonder what the pattern of my thinking is. You ever asked yourself that? When's the last time you asked yourself, what is the pattern of my thinking? We just simply don't do that. Yet every one of us has one. Even though we don't think about it, it's there and it's influencing us every single day. Every day. And it's forming the person that you and I are. We are not slaves to our minds, but we are slaves to the habits that control our thinking. We weave patterns and thoughts, and we allow those habits literally to dominate us. They dominate us. Sometimes that can have terrible consequences. I think of Judas, and I think about how I'm sure one time he had high hopes and great aspirations. Now he's been in hell for 2,000 years. Or more. That's not where he saw himself. That's not where he saw himself. But his thought life got away from him. Some are good, some are not good. Good habits can be a great blessing. Bad ones can be disastrous. Bad thinking can cause illness, depression. It can be extremely self-destructive. For most of us, we are deeply influenced by what was ingrained into our psyche, into our minds when we were growing up. The environmental influences around us. The things that were spoken over us and into us have a lingering impact. The experiences that we had, even the non-verbal ones, they affected us. Interchanges. Being hugged, not being hugged. Being cared for, being ignored. All of those things impacted some aspect of our lives. And they sent messages to us. And we thought about them. Even though we didn't necessarily do it consciously, those experiences sent messages and caused thoughts in the minds of us when we were little. Those experiences have set patterns that often control the rest of our lives, unless we make a conscious effort to change them. We think in the Bible of Paul and Silas that Paul's opinion of Mark was so bad that he and Silas separated. Do I have that right, or was it Barnabas? No, Silas. Yeah, Barnabas. Yeah, that's what I just thought. He had such a sharp dispute, he did not want Mark anywhere near him. And I was just reading last night how Paul, in his closing, one of the epistles says, "And greet my son Mark." He changed his thinking. He changed his attitude. The young man that he couldn't stand to have around became his son. Amazing. See, God will help us to embrace the goodness of the Lord. Because most of the time, we're not even aware of our thinking habits. But changing the way we think will always transform some aspect of our character and personality. That's why the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If I change the pattern of my thinking, it will, in due course, change my character. It has. I've been saved 34 years, and I am not the same person who got saved. Many things have changed. My thinking has changed. In Romans, and let's turn to that, Romans chapter 12, it's God's formula, if you will, for transformation. In James, he tells us, receive with meekness the implanted word. Implanted. Implanted. Why does it say implanted? Because if it isn't planted, it isn't going to produce anything. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save or sozo your soul. What does it mean? What's your soul? What does the word save mean? To make whole, to restore. So he's saying that the word of God planted in you is able to bring healing to your mind, your will, your emotions. That's what he's telling us here. How does it happen? Well, Romans chapter 12. Somebody want to read to me verses 2. please. Verse 2, yeah, please. Don't be conformed to the world, to the patterns of this world, to the thinking of this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind that you may prove or experience the will of God. How do we do that? How do we do that? How do you renew your mind? Meditate in the Word of God. You put the thoughts of God into your mind. What does God think? He thinks His Word. Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit can't say something else to you. But if you don't begin by first soaking in the Word, you'll never get to the place where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Because the Holy Spirit has to have something to work with. This Word will produce faith. It'll produce faith. The Word transformed is the word metamorphosis. A profound change in form from one stage in the life history of an organism, as from the caterpillar to the pupa to the, and from the pupa to the adult butterfly. Now, a butterfly doesn't look much like a caterpillar, does it? That's a radical transformation. It's a radical transformation. But you and I need that kind of change in us for the Word of God to become effective. To become effective for us. You see, a thought has to take root. It has to take root. And it's got to have action behind it. And that action can be anything from just meditating on it to actually physically doing something about it. So it's not enough to simply read a passage of Scripture. That passage of Scripture has to become literally a part of your spiritual bloodstream. Because we're not talking just knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge about God and no power in their lives. None. In fact, they have a lot of frustration. But for that Word to become a living Word, because that's what the Bible says it is, it's a living Word, it's got to be brought to life. How does that happen? How does that happen, do you think? How is that Word brought to life? How? Where?
In our spirit.
Where does He say that? Where does it tell us? That's correct. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit takes God's thoughts, what God thinks, and He imparts them, He interprets them, He explains them, He communicates them, He imparts them, He brings them alive inside of you. But if you don't take the time to do it, He can't do it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? If we don't invest our time in that, God can't do it. It takes a commitment from us to spend quality time with God. Quality time. And that involves a whole process of things that we talked about in Hosea in the last few weeks. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness. The word rains is teaching and impart His truths. So we stay in the presence of God until He brings His grace. Wonderful healing grace. I read something last night that was, I thought I'm going to check this up and read on it. Where is it here? Hmm. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. See, this is an example of what I'm talking about. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Any ideas what that means? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, talking about when Jesus returns? No, that's not what he's talking about. When it says here, gird up the loins of your mind, how do you gird up the loins of your mind? Protect them? Gird up the loins of your mind is prepare your mind. Prepare yourself. When you are, like when they had long robes on and they were going to run, they would have to gird up their robes, you know, lift them up so they could run and not trip over their feet. So when you are girding up the loins of your mind, it's saying, prepare your mind for this. Prepare your mind for this. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that sounds great. What does it mean? The grace, what is the grace? The grace is favor with God, manifested in the benefits bestowed in and through Christ and His gospel. So, set your hope fully upon the favor of God, manifested in the benefits bestowed in and through Christ and His gospel, that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation means the removal of ignorance and darkness by the communication of light and knowledge, illumination, instruction, disclosure, and unveiling. Quite a difference, isn't it? He's saying, prepare your mind, because in order for you to be able to understand the benefits of the gospel, the benefits that Christ has made available in the gospel, it has to be revealed and communicated to you in a way that you can assimilate it into your spiritual bloodstream. That's what it's talking about here. But that kind of illumination doesn't come from reading it once over. It comes from meditating in it and saying, God, what does this mean? What does it mean? Open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my understanding. A healthy mind watches the little thoughts that take root in the soil of our minds. Song of Solomon 2:15, the little foxes that spoil. Good thoughts need to be watered and nurtured, and bad ones need to be uprooted. If we do not pay attention to those little thoughts, they can bring absolute destruction in time. Absolute destruction. Because they set a pattern. We start thinking in a particular direction. Now we need to understand that as powerful as a thought is, it is in itself not yet reality. I mean, I can think I'm Superman, but if I jump off a building, they'll all be attending my funeral. A thought has to be reality-based. Positive confession carries you only so far. But our thinking, as well as our confession, has to have a reality that is based in the Word of God. It must be based in the Word of God. If you need a job, you can think positively all you like. But if you don't get out and apply somewhere, your chances of getting a job are pretty minimal. We need to put action to our thoughts. In James 2:26, the Common English Bible says, "As the lifeless body is dead, so faith without action is dead." And you can't use positive thinking to deny reality. Denying reality is not biblical. Jesus never denied reality. He changed it, but he never denied it. He didn't, you know, stand up and say, there's really no waves out there, Peter. You know, it's really no waves. There's no wind, really. You're just imagining it. He spoke to it and stopped it. And that's what we need to do. We need to come face to face with the reality before we can change it. And too often we try to deny it. God does not honor that kind of thinking. We need to have realistic thoughts to be able to respond to real problems. Realistic thinking does not use denial. Negative thinking is never, never realistic. It is always a distortion, and it's never constructive. There are some things that you can't do. Now, that's not negative thinking. That's reality. That's reality. I will never be a jockey on a horse. That is reality. That was always reality in my life. In grade 5, I weighed 96 pounds. Grade 5. Our thinking must be based on the Word. When we move into negative thinking, what happens is we open the door to all kinds of problems. In Proverbs 18:14, it says, "Who can bear a broken spirit?" Now, the word "broken" here means beaten, crushed, oppressed. It means despair, grieved. When you have a spirit in that kind of condition, it attracts all kinds of bad things. It's like there's an aura of negativity around some people. We all know people who are very negative. They look at the world through negative eyes. They're never joyful, or very rarely joyful. Their focus is always finding that one thing that's wrong. And they'll look for it till they find it. I know. I used to be one. Very negative. I hated everybody equally. God is looking to change that. We need healthy thinking, reality thinking. We need that with a deep trust of God and His Word. We need to have a sensitive heart, and we absolutely must have an open and intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have got to have that. We've got to. The Holy Spirit is there to guide and direct and influence our thinking. And He will bring us through life's painful experiences. You know that God is not necessarily going to remove you out of every painful experience. Much as we'd like Him to, He doesn't. But He will bring us through it if we will trust in Him. But I'm going to tell you, it is difficult to find God when you have allowed faulty thinking to disable your faith. What do I mean by that? I mean that some people believe that if such and such happened, God has failed me. God has failed me. God shouldn't have allowed this. How could He let this happen? this is not right. If God really cared about me, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen. And so what I do is I disable my ability to hear from God. And that opens the door to even more problems. See, if you don't have proper biblical thinking, then you're going to expect things from God that he's not going to do. He's not going to do. And then you become very disappointed and disillusioned with him. See, that's why it's so important that you and I know the word for ourselves. Because what someone tells you, including me, may or may not be accurate. You need to know that for yourself. Now, is there anywhere in the Bible where you can think of that? Sorry? Where's that? Acts 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. It says the Bereans were of a more noble character. What does that mean? See, when you find someone that God says had a noble character, that's worth investigating. It's worth investigating. Acts 17:11. It says the Bereans were more fair-minded. And let's see, what is... I have a note here on that. Noble, okay. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they themselves undertook to look through the scriptures themselves every day to verify what they were being told was true. They weren't looking to find fault with Paul. They weren't looking to find somewhere they could trip him up. They were looking to ensure that what they were believing was in fact accurate. It was accurate. And a noble heart is ready to receive the truth. And God wants you to have the mind of Christ. He wants you to have that. That's 1 Corinthians 2:16. God wants you and I to have the mind of Christ. So how do we get that? What is the mind of Christ?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. See, if we start with the Word of God, we are well underway to understanding the mind of Christ. Then the Holy Spirit can come along and take the Word and reveal it to us. Open it up. Help us to understand passages that are hard to grasp. Words to understand, what does he mean by this word? What does this word mean? Because without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're on our own. We're on our own. And an uncontrolled thought life leads to a life right out of order. It'll ruin our lives. The impact of your thought life goes well beyond just having peace or happiness or removing something that's somewhat uncomfortable. It literally creates a foundation deep within the soul into which our character is honed and developed and built. And your character is the essence of who you are. Your entire being is being shaped by the thoughts that continually reside in your mind. Now the good news is that you can change it if you need to. And we all need to. We all need to. God will help us to do that. He'll help us. But if we want to move forward in any way, we've got to take control over our thoughts. We've got to take control over them. Because they can lead you down a path you don't want to go. Ananias and Sapphira, another couple, they saw people being blessed and rewarded and praised because they sold things and gave it away. And they thought, gee, that sounds good. I'd like to be praised and rewarded too. So they conspired together to sell a certain portion of land and to give some of that to the disciples, but to act as if they were giving all of it. They had a thought. Where did that thought lead them? Death. Both of them. Both of them. That's not what they were intending, though, was it? Our thought life can bring us to a place we don't want to be. That's why it's so critical. Get a hold of your thought life. Get a hold of it. You can start any time. Any time. That's why I tell people, you should write down what you're thinking. Every hour, whatever sense, whatever you can use. Because often people don't even know what they're thinking. They don't know. Thoughts just kind of float through. But if you're depressed, do you know what you're thinking? Depressed. Well, Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety or fear in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. A good word makes it glad. What's a good word? The word of God. You can be changed and transformed. Changed and transformed. Last statement I'm going to make today. I have this right in the front of my Bible. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. We are not to come just to the Word of God. Rather, we are to go through that Word to the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. What does that mean? When you're reading the Word, connect with God. You're not just gathering information. You're not just gathering knowledge. You are to connect that with God Himself. Amen?
Amen?
So Lord, help us, Father, to live Your Word. Help us to embrace it. Help us, O God, to be a people who love You and equally love Your Word. Father, reveal Your Word to us. Let it become a source, the source of life for us. The source. Open the eyes of our understanding, O God. Let me encourage you right now just to take a moment or two before we leave and ask the Spirit of God if He has anything to say to you about this morning. Because often it's in that window of opportunity as you're thinking about this that the Spirit of God can say things to you that half hour from now will just be gone. They'll be gone. So just take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to do that. And I pray that God's Word will be a great blessing to you today. Amen.